Since reading and implementing Joey's book, we have had an insane amount of customer retention. We have changed the way that we do things significantly, but we've also failed significantly along the way too.
I'm Alicia Domenico, host of the Company Growth Podcast and CEO of Tangible Words. In this limited series, Books to Help You Grow, I'm sharing the books that have unlocked the most ideas for tangible words and our clients. While I recommend these books all the time, in each episode, I'll help you assess if the book will help you grow.
Joey Coleman's book, Never Lose a Customer Again, is a game changer. And I feel confident telling you that because I don't know where else you would go to learn these things.
I talked to Joey in a previous episode of the Company Growth Podcast. Consider this episode the Cole's Notes version, summarizing some key points of his book to help you understand why you should read Never Lose a Customer Again. If the concepts resonate with you, I highly recommend listening to Season 3, Episode 2, to hear more of what he has to say on customer retention strategies.
Joey Coleman's thesis is that in the first 100 days, you have the potential to either keep and create loyalty amongst your customers for life or to lose them. He states that despite all of the money and time we spend on marketing and sales and customer acquisition, we have a 20 to 70% customer turnover rate where we lose these people forever. And I think as a business owner myself, it's really hard to see that because so many people are passive. There's no complaints. There's no rave reviews either though. And so you start thinking, why? Why is that happening? And that's what his book sets out to address. He says in the first 100 days of having your customer in that early relationship, and that includes the sales process, there are 8 phases you have to cover, no matter what size you are. He even introduces his concept by saying, if a dentist can make people love his organization, you can too. So you can see the nature of the storytelling that happens in this book that's also going to make you love it. The thing that I learned in this book was the psychology of purchase. And that's what I mean about there not being any other place to learn these things. I had read hundreds of business books, but this book really stood out to helping me understand what was going to be possible. I think we forget what it's like to feel like the customer when you're selling things day in, day out, or even marketing things. And there's all these phases that are happening, which you're not tracking and you're not really tuned in with how that other person is feeling, no matter how empathetic you are, because you really just can't see it. So Joey's external perspective really breaks this down and makes it very clear. And he gives you 6 ways you can communicate in each of these 8 phases. So even if you're like, I don't know how that works for us, he gives you lots of creative ideas to spark what could work for your organization.
You start working with a new provider, whether that's a vendor, whether that's a customer, it doesn't matter. And invariably, they have their way of doing business. They have their preferred software. They have their preferred project management style. And it's almost as if we automatically expect that everyone's going to understand and adopt our approach. I think if we just slightly step back from our processes and procedures and say, what would it be like to be a brand new customer coming in cold here? Where would they be feeling anxious? And then just address the elephant in the room. Say, look, I understand that you hired us to help with HubSpot. Before we can get to that, we've got to help you with XYZ. We're going to have to learn this, but rest assured we're here. We're holding your hand. You don't need to become an Asana pro. You can be an Asana basic user. We're really just giving you insight into what we're doing, but here are the things you need to do. We're going to dial you up on how to use this project management software that's going to be the basis for our entire conversation. You only need to really know 2 things about this software: how to view where we are in the process and how to respond and who to respond to if you see something that you don't like or gives you pause or you're unsure about. Other than that, you don't have to do anything. The relief that that will give a customer to then say, oh, so this is really just added value? This is just additional perspective and insight? Oh, I didn't even know I was paying for this. And suddenly your retainer, your fee that you're charging them becomes even more valuable because they recognize the transparency, the insight, the perspective that you're giving them is a bonus, not a requirement for the success of their project.
You can hear Joey's passion. He's helped hundreds and thousands of other companies to adopt and improve their customer retention programs and the speed of customer acquisition by following the eight phases he lays out in his book. I first heard about the book from another agency friend. We were in a mastermind together and working on our business and trying to find ways of things that worked and how to grow our company and leaning on each other for ideas and resources. This book was recommended from one agency to another, and when we all got it, we had a book club with Joey at it because we were so excited about the ideas that Joey talks about how to solve and the problems that we were experiencing in our agencies over and over again, and he helped us fix them and gain control over that customer experience in a way that was going to be more pleasant for our staff serving that client and also for our client throughout their journey. Since reading and implementing Joey's book, we have had an insane amount of customer retention. We have changed the way that we do things significantly, but we've also failed significantly along the way too. So I want to talk about how we implemented at Tangible Words, the ideas of Joey's book, and where we failed so that you can understand what would or wouldn't work for you. Our goal in reading Never Lose a Customer Again was to become a better service provider. The problem was some relationships were amazing. Amazing in the sense of our team and the client, everyone was happy, but others were strained and we just didn't know what went wrong. I mean, how many times do you really just want to blame it on that one person or take responsibility for it solely yourself? Wouldn't it be really nice to know what went wrong and to be able to have a system to measure things against? So often you just are squirrely and spinning around on the sort of compass dial trying to figure out what happened that time. That's maddening to anybody who wants to scale and grow their company. So using Joey's system, we started implementing the eight steps. The first aha was that I didn't even realize, and this is what I mean about the psychology of purchase, as not being able to learn about this anywhere else, no matter how many business books you've read, I didn't even realize that the first five phases of Joey's eight-phase process even existed. We were marketers. We figured out we knew how to help people. We could close deals. We knew how to figure things out that way as a company. We knew how to help our customers do the same. But we were starting our relationships right away at phase six. It's a little bit like writing an essay. You wouldn't just sit down and just start writing. You would want to have a plan and a blueprint for how to manage things. But we were just sitting down and writing the essay, it turns out. We had no idea that we were jumping straight into delivery. That's huge. Five faces we didn't even know about or know how to recognize or have six different ways to communicate in each of them with the customer to make sure that we really landed our point home in those first five phases. What a gap. Joey describes those eight phases and lists them in our other podcast.
Phase one is the assess phase. This is when a prospect is considering whether or not they want to do business with you. In common parlance, we refer to this as marketing and sales. In most businesses, this is the entire journey. Once they're done and they sell you, they're like, woohoo, we're good, we're set. In Joey's version of the customer journey, this is but one step in an eight-step process. We then go to phase two, the admit phase. This is when a prospect acknowledges that they have a problem or a need that they believe you can help them with. They sign on the dotted line, they hand over their hard-earned cash, they transition from being a prospect to being an actual customer. Immediately after that action is taken, they go to phase three, the affirm phase. Now, in common parlance, we refer to this as buyer's remorse. This is when the brand new customer begins to doubt the decision that they just made to do business with you, to hire you, to buy your product, to sign up for your service. In the affirm stage, we need to be going above and beyond to reaffirm the logic and the choice that the customer implemented when they made the decision to sign on the dotted line and become a customer. We then come to phase four, the activate stage. This is the first real moment of truth. In an agency setting, it might be the kickoff meeting. In a product environment, it might be when the product arrives in your customer's hands and they open the box and they start to use it for the first time. Now, the good news is most businesses are actually pretty good at the activate stage. Everybody's excited. Everybody's feeling good. It's usually a good launch. But then we go into phase five. And I will tell you, Alicia, this is where most businesses start to fall off the rails. Phase five is the acclimate phase. This is when the customer becomes familiar with your way of doing business. See, you've delivered your product or your service hundreds of times, thousands of times, maybe tens of thousands of times. but to a brand new customer, they have no idea what's coming next. In the acclimate phase, you have to hold their hand, get them used to your cadence of business, your way of approaching the world. Now, some people listening may be saying, but Joey, you don't understand. I gave them a contract. I gave them a proposal that outlined all the steps of the process. Friends, your customers are just like you. They sign things that they don't read all the time. Now, some of you are saying, but Joey, that's not true. I read all of them. And I would encourage you to think about the last time you rented a car and you're standing at the counter and they've got that little box there and they're saying, just click this, just click this. And you're clicking the button like a gerbil would click on the thing to get a food pellet because you just want the keys to the car and you want to be able to go on your way. Your customers are the same way. So what can you do in the acclimate phase to hold their hand and teach them your way of doing business? We then come to phase six, the accomplish phase. This is when the customer achieves the goal that they had when they originally decided to do business with you. Now, not every business reaches the accomplish phase and not every customer reaches the accomplish phase, but we got to track that and celebrate it so that ideally we can take them to phase seven, the adopt phase, when the customer becomes loyal to you and only you. They're not going to go look at the competition. They are committed to your way of doing business. And if, and only if, we've navigated them through all of these previous seven phases, do we reach phase eight, the advocate phase, the holy grail, nirvana, everything that most businesses want, when the customer becomes a raving fan referring their friends and colleagues to you. In most businesses, we try to jump from the sale to asking for the referral or asking for the testimonial. I'm not opposed to this. And in fact, most businesses never properly ask for the referral or the testimonial. But the ones that do have a tendency to do it way too early in the cycle.
What a massive game changer for a service provider. We were using all kinds of tools and not realizing how it was affecting our customers when they onboarded us, that so many of the tools we were using were just landing in their too hard pile. And so they weren't really adopting who we were and becoming raving reviews because working with us and the tools we used were simply too hard. We were jumping right into phase six, accomplish, and then hoping that they would get to phase seven on their own instead of communicating with them and scaffolding it for them to make sure that they got there. And then expecting phase eight to happen, which is to advocate for us and for the work that we achieve together. Wow, there was so much more we could be doing. If you think about the six ways to communicate in each of those eight phases, there were 48 opportunities we were missing out on. Throughout the book, Joey uses all kinds of company stories that he's worked with in different industries, different sizes, and companies that had been getting it so wrong and how they turned it around. So we felt pretty confident there was hope for us yet. We just had to do the work and figure out what our ways of communicating would be at each of those eight steps. So the first thing that we did was to create a checklist of steps, but we failed. One, the reason we failed is that checklist wasn't really integrated at the place where it should have been. We made a separate project for it, thinking we'd be able to assign tasks and get those done, but they kept falling by the wayside because they weren't happening alongside the work that we were already doing. We'd made our checklist inside of Asana, which is the place where things get done at Tangible Words, but it was too much work or additional work it created for the team in order to say, do this by this date. And we found we just kept pushing them off because they weren't automated and a lot of the things that we wanted to do. However, as I've said, we're a success story for adopting these phases. So how did we get it right? In some of those earlier phases, we did a way better job at setting up the automated communications that allowed us to do some of those things that Joey recommends that you do as part of the customer acquisition in those first 100 days. The clock of their assessment and their feelings towards you really start kicking off even before you close the deal. So everything that we automated using our tool HubSpot worked. And that helped to dispel some of the myths or confusing feelings. I know we have this, we created this one email called, it's not like buying a dishwasher when you sign up like us. And the reason why we use that analogy, we even had a picture of a dishwasher inside of it, of that email, it's still running. One of the things that we were really trying to hit on was you can complain. You can tell us when things aren't working out. Alongside my life at the same time, we'd had the experience with a contractor. And I found that with a contractor in renovations, a little bit of conflict early on can stress test the relationship and make sure you can communicate because inevitably things are going to get hard. And I found that's the way with service providers when we're doing marketing and sales enablement and customer service success, which we now do for our customers too, on account of having read Joey's book and learned it so well. But I found that if you can survive that conflict and find a way to communicate through it, the relationship can definitely strengthen and grow. And that has been a personal passion of mine in all my relationships. It's not something anybody ever teaches you about, and it's something that you have to actively work at. So one of the things that I wanted to do was really communicate to our clients early on with this onboarding automated email series to let them know that they could complain to us. We weren't scared of that conflict. We knew that if they told us how they were feeling, we would have sight on that problem and be able to fix it. So that alone has accounted for so much of our success in adopting Joey's strategies and fixing our wasn't really a retention problem, but allowing us to hang on to the clients that we really wanted to hang on to, because that was part of it. In agency work, sometimes you aren't a good fit for clients that hire you and you don't want to keep working together, and that should be okay too. Sometimes work can get done better separate from each other just because of the nature of that relationship or how they make decisions or their goals change or people change. We allow for that and expect it because sometimes you want to have an ability to walk away happily from a relationship with the work that you just did. One of the things that we also adopted on that note was we stopped asking people to go on to retainers without really starting with preliminary projects. In the agency world, you're meant to have a retainer and to get retainers, and the more retainers you have, the more successful you are as an agency. And we just found that when we were doing mostly our marketing work, sometimes the client was too busy to do the work that we were doing, and we were applying pressure to them at a time that was bad, and that was causing strain in the relationship. So one of our other things to implement was to not sign up with people who wouldn't necessarily be good customers and not to have any months where things don't get done and we become bad suppliers. So we changed the nature of the game to allow everybody to enter and exit the relationship at set periods of time. And that has also been a game changer for us as a service provider. Not only does it help us stand out in the crowd in the sense that we don't force people to sign retainers when they start doing work with us, but we scope out projects much more tightly using our OKR system, which we reference in another podcast. But we also allowed ourselves to really think about the work that needed to get done within a set time frame and to make sure that everybody was going to be concentrating and available for that time frame so that we could both collaborate to get that work done. This is traditionally one of the ways where marketing work particularly falls down when you're an agency provider, when a client gets too busy. It's also one of the ways where a client gets annoyed at having hired an agency because they're so busy helping the agency, they're not getting to get things done and make decisions. They're not getting their other work done. I think one of the other ways that we failed in trying to implement this book was I was the only one who had read it. And I was trying to breathe into the company a certain way of handling customers that wasn't necessarily being adopted by everybody. So making sure that everyone had a copy of the book or at least got the brief on the book has been successful in making sure that we're all consistently coming at it and understanding the psychology of the customer and how they might be feeling in the same period of time. So in our second phase of adoption, or maybe this is even our third phase, what we're looking at is how to automate and scale the work inside of what Joey does, because it needs to become, this is just the way that we do it. If it's an extra, it won't get done. And when we first set it up and failed, we had created that project as an extra, and so it wasn't getting done. Now we plan for it and are putting it into our system so that we can manage it and track it, and so that those steps will actually get done as automatically as possible, but as critical to the success of our joint partnership, client and service provider, so that we can not skip over anything that's critically important that we'd all already agreed to. I'm really excited for Joey Coleman's next book, where he takes the same 8 phases and applies them to employee satisfaction so that you can never lose an employee again. Isn't that going to be great? How much is that needed right now in a time when there's a bit of a war on talent and we're trying to woo the existing talent pool to each other's companies? Instead, you'd love to have that employee loyalty where they're so happy, and at Tangible Words, we refer to our positions as the best damn job ever. So as a company executive, I'm very excited to read Never Lose an Employee Again and find out ways that we can create the best damn job ever for our employees and manage those same 8 phases in onboarding our employees the same way that we will and are continuing to do with our customers. If you're still wondering if this wouldn't work for you, or you still have reasons for why this wouldn't work for you, let me point out why I think that might be. First of all, it's really important that you have the building blocks and a process for how you get work done. As somebody who helps other companies with their revenue operations and standardizing and creating scale so that new team members can join as you grow, and also making sure that you close more of those deals more often, I can say that most companies really struggle to understand what makes their company run. If you don't have that drawn out in terms of this is how our sales team sells, this is how our marketing team markets, and this is how our customer success team keeps and renews our client list, it's a very, very valuable process to draw that out. So we call those process maps, and we standardly prepare those for our clients now. And it helps us figure out the data points of what gets triggered or what gets tracked at each stage so that we can build for automation. Using HubSpot in the way that we do, if you don't know what the data point is that can trigger a list or create a report or be used to trigger an automation, you're really lost and you have incomplete data that isn't really useful to you. So defining that process map and drawing it out in a way that everybody agrees to and says, this is us, this is how we sell, this is what we've built to help us market, this is how we retain customers, building that out with the data points in mind is everything to allowing that scale and automation to happen later. So if you're feeling like, oh, this 8-step process won't work for us, maybe it's because you've been burnt in the past with initiatives that not everybody was on side with, or that everybody agreed to, or that somebody did once for 30 days and then completely forgot about. But drawing out that process map is one way that you can overcome all of those elements. And I've also found the other use case is that people come and go from companies, especially if you haven't read Never Lose an Employee Again yet. But people do come and go for different reasons, even if that includes a mat leave for a year. And a lot of those people who know things about how your company runs don't always know what's important to hand over. So by documenting those processes and hyperlinking where they live so that people can make adjustments in the interim means you have version control about how people are doing things in your company. And when that person leaves or is temporarily gone, even sick for a day, you have a loss of knowledge as to how work gets done or how customers get retained. So if you're not sure where to start, the process map, after reading Joey Coleman's Never Lose a Customer Again, could be everything to helping you hold on to those customers and implement all the ideas of this book. You can talk to Tangible Words about how to get a process map started. We'll include a link in the show notes.
For more information on Joey Coleman's book, Never Lose a Customer Again, visit joeycoleman.com/book. Find more episodes of the Company Growth Podcast on YouTube or at anchor.fm/Company Growth Podcast or wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you've got a company growth story you'd like to share, reach out to Tangible Words. We'd love to hear your story and use it to inspire others to beat their own company growing pains. Until next time, thank you for listening to the Company Growth Podcast.